Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
The Portugal game and the Ronaldo red card, I think that is the most culturally significant thing that's ever happened at the Aviva Stadium.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Good morning. We hope you're having a great Christmas, folks out there, and you're welcome to the second of four Christmas specials of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Every morning at 10:30 a.m. for the 4 days of the Christmas, we are bringing you expert analysis of the races. We're bringing you market moves. We're bringing you, hopefully, all important winning tips and everything else you need to know about racing for the 4 days of Christmas. Leopardstown and Limerick and Chepstow today. Delighted to introduce as well our special guest, Tom Malone of the Irish Field. How are you, Tom?
Hey, I'm good, John. How are you doing? Happy Christmas.
Johnny Ward, did you enjoy yesterday? Obviously, you're in the joy of being engaged recently, and it was an engaging race which we had with the King George Chase at Kempton. It was just a fantastic race, won by the Jukebox Man, who you advised us to follow yesterday, and Harry Redknapp winning the big one, obviously football legend. And I just thought it was a great story for racing, what we saw yesterday. We'll just kick off the pod this morning by talking about what we saw yesterday.
Yeah, and I watched the race with my future father-in-law, whose selection in the race was Banbridge. And so it was just, and I was thinking of Don McLean much of the way up the straight, like, because I kind of dismissed Banbridge's chance a bit. I just felt the race was too good for him. And as races go over 3 miles with all the jumping involved, and the test that Kempton is, for four horses to be split by essentially a couple of necks at the end is absolutely incredible. And I just feel that race is why we love racing. It really is. And like the Harry Redknapp factor, and the fact that even, you know, you have a winning rider who's sort of seemingly very, very confident as they pass the line, a bit more confident than I was. And then a fairly long wait, actually, for the photo finish to be announced. And, you know, that race just had absolutely everything. There was certainly a tactical nature to it, because Ile France didn't go too hard. Whether any of them horses, would you say, I'm crying out to back him for the Gold Cup? Maybe not, you know, when there was so little between them. But it was just a fantastic horse race. And, you know, I feel when you can get Harry Redknapp in the headlines, we see the headlines now. I suppose it's more like on social media and online is where you're promoting racing more so than the newspapers of old. But get him on the TV, get Harry Redknapp's face out there. That's what racing should be all about. I've often felt racing should be working harder to encourage kind of ex-professional footballers and ex-professional sports people to get involved, even at a low level, because I feel it does wonders for publicity and to spread racing to people who kind of mightn't necessarily have any interest in it. And just the way Harry Redknapp spoke after the race as well, and I just thought it was as good a race as you'll see, essentially.
I've been looking back to Arkle, Tom Malone, and 12 horses going back to 1965 have won the King George and the Gold Cup, not necessarily in the same year, but in the last 15 years it hasn't been as prevalent. Long Run, I think, was the last one to kind of do both, because I'd say a lot of Irish trained horses that have been winning Gold Cups have been running, say, Leopardstown on the 28th of December. But the Gold Cup picture now will be enhanced by the Jukebox Man, by maybe Django Bay. Gaelic Warrior might turn up at Cheltenham in March. I mean, this is now a race that could throw up Gold Cup contenders outside of, I know the way you're thinking, the current champion and Galopin des Champs as well.
Yeah, I think one of the big problems for the King George winning Gold Cup trial is probably the Ryanair Chase, because obviously you have the likes of Vautour and Cucard, who served up as a brilliant renewal of the race a few years ago. And even the way yesterday's race was run was, you know, they didn't go a million. Ile France in front was actually relatively steady in front, you know, given his problems he's had. It's not a surprise that they didn't want to go too hard on him, although it did look like fun for Harry Cobden out in front of him. But I thought if one of them was going to be a Gold Cup horse, it'd be more like Gaelic Warrior. I didn't really understand why he was held up so long, when you'd think 3 miles wasn't going to be an issue for him. Absolutely loved the Jukebox Man. I mean, when you watch the replay again, he was probably third coming off the back of the last, and then he goes and wins a jockey. He was so calm. confident Ben Jones, to be fair to him. And then apparently his confidence only lapsed shortly after when the girls were leading him in, kind of gave him a bit of a look going, geez, I'm not sure we've got this yet. So it was magic. As regards the Gold Cup, I think, you know, what we see in Leopardstown will be more of an indicator of that. But I think there'll be a lot of pressure on the jukebox man to go the Gold Cup route. You know, he's won there over 3 miles. He's battled back. He's looked like he's wanted every yard of it. I don't know if he'll get truly 3 miles and two, but my God, he's a gorgeous big lump of a staying chaser. And the world will want the jukebox man to go to a Gold Cup and Harry Redknapp there and all the publicity that will entail. But it's fantastic for the trainer and the rider as well. You know, Ben Pauling has really put his money where his mouth is. He set up a huge, big new operation in Gloucestershire. He bought land from a golf course and has put in a massive new racing operation, new training operation. And that's his first open grade one as a trainer. So, and you know, when you do invest like that, you need to have a horse to showcase your talents. And the jukebox man looks like just that horse for Ben Pauling. But, as regards the Gold Cup picture, I'm not too sure of the three who are there. I couldn't have had Django Bay in my mind. He actually ran way better than I thought he would run. But I thought Gaelic Warrior might be the one to take out of it from the Gold Cup point of view, because he seemed to, even though prior to the second last, he didn't have the greatest trip, thought they might have, should have made a bit more use of him. He just looked in an absolute box seat, and then they probably just went a little bit quick for him. He just didn't have the pace, but he was staying on all the time. But yeah, further trip, genuinely run 3 mile race will definitely suit Gaelic Warrior in the future. But yeah, he has to go for a Gold Cup, almost just to add to the story, because I think a Gold Cup without him, unless you see Gallop in the shop really, you know, bounce back to form, and don't know what way, you know, the way you, I know the way you're thinking is going to run for the next while, feels very much that another way you're thinking is a pure Gold Cup target is always going to be in mind this year. And then we'll just have to see how Gallop and Deschamps gets on over the next few days.
When we saw Leopardstown yesterday, Jack Kennedy just illustrated, Johnny, how great he is in the saddle with that ride on Romeo Coolio to galvanise the horse, who maybe found it a bit tougher over 2 miles than 2.5 to win the Racing Post Novice Chase. But credit to the heart, he's an Irish Panther, because they really put it up to Romeo Coolio, and it was a decent race.
Very much so, a decent race. Salvador Mundi is just another an enigmatic performance from him, and he was, to me, like the main danger to Romeo Coolio, but you couldn't take anything away from Irish Panther, and the aforementioned father-in-law had invested in him as well. So he was calling...
Oh, God, what a day.
Yeah, calling some goods, but he did have some good winners as well, but Irish Panther ran really well. I think you're right, JD. Romeo Coolio, he's jumping in the early part of the race, just wasn't befitting the top class 2 miler that he can be, I think. And bearing in mind, like, the day that Jack had at this stage, he'd won on Spinola Bay in the previous race. He'd won on Ballyfad in the first race. So I was surprised at how well he won. But then in the second race, possibly the performance of the whole day, El Kairos at Leopardstown, it was an extraordinary effort from him until he had this really remarkable, like, one of these what happened next moments at the last, where he just kind of, he was basically like a drunk coming out of the pub. He was all over the shop, having jumped a hurdle seemingly okay. But in the context of that, like, Jack could have had a pretty bad fall. There it was a pretty bad fall on ground that isn't that bad, but he came up then, rode two winners subsequently. I kind of felt with Romeo Coolio, I sort of felt between the last two from his body language that he was going to get there, but he was really made to work. And I think Gordon Elias, with this horse, just looking at that performance yesterday, I think going forward he's definitely not I think he's definitely more of a Gold Cup horse than a Champion Chase horse, but I feel that if you're putting horses jumping at this speed as a novice, like Kicking King did it as well, I think it actually really does stand to them going forward. And he did smash July Flower by over 12 lengths, so it was still a good effort for all that. He wasn't quite as impressive maybe as I thought he would be.
If you're following yards, Tom Malone, Gordon Elliott is the yard to follow. 6 winners across 3 different tracks in Ireland yesterday, Leopardstown, Limerick and Down Royal.
Yeah, and as Johnny said, should have been 7 as well with El Kairos. An absolutely bizarre situation we have in the kind of Supreme picture as well there, because my daddy Paddy was beaten at Aintree quite handily, really. And then, you know, El Kairos falls and he still ends up pretty much favourite for the Supreme. So that's just one of the kind of ridiculous situations we're in now with anti-post racing. Yeah, Gordon, I kind of agree with Johnny as well on the jumping point. But one thing I'd say is that's probably just he got put under a little bit more pressure. Like Fairyhouse is so easy for him, and it was over 2.5 miles, and he was just able to settle into a rhythm. Yeah, I suppose they probably went back to 2 miles to see, you know, because the options, they're hardly going to send him to a handicap. So, you know, the options for him at Cheltenham as a novice are 2 miles or 3 miles. So you'd imagine they might just stick with the Arkell route rather than push him out to 3 miles this early in his career. But yeah, intriguing. I thought it was a brilliant performance by him, though. Intriguing horse. He was all class at Fairyhouse, but it was a very straightforward win that day. I was pleasantly surprised how well he won at Fairyhouse. But yeah, I think he showed another side to him yesterday. Unfortunate for the Hearties to come out the wrong side to a Thriller as well. Good to see them with a really good horse. But yeah, Romeo Cuglio is just, there's so much to like about him in the early stages of the season, isn't there? And, you know, maybe him and Irish Panther could go at it again in the Arkell. And you know, you think of the finish of the Arkell last year, like it could really suit Romeo Cuglio, you know, if he's just able to stay, tag along on the pace and then just chase them home up that hill. It's so much stiffer at Cheltenham. It could still be okay getting away over 2 miles, and the jumping test he had yesterday will also stand to him.
Now, jockeys at Leopardstown Limerick and Down Royal all wore black armbands yesterday in tribute and memory of conditional rider Paul Kavanagh. The 20-year-old died in a car accident on Christmas Eve in Limerick. He was from Galway, Johnny. He was riding out for Enda Bulger. It is just incredibly sad.
Yeah, awful news. You know, a friend of mine, Hugh Mulryan, he passed away during the year as well from the west of Ireland as well, from Galway. And a horse that Hugh bought for his dad, Liam, won at Limerick yesterday. It was really poignant scenes, and it made me think of the awful situation for the Mulryan family now that the Paul's family are going through. Like, Tuam is a place that is probably best known for Tuam Stadium, which was the home of Galway football for so long, and Gaelic football. But it has spawned, you know, the likes of Rory Gaffney, and on the racing front, Lee Roach, very good rider. Ross O'Ryan is from near Tuam, and it was Ross O'Ryan's dad who got Paul into racing. I don't think I ever actually met Paul. I probably did sort of share a parade ring with him at some point. But so I was reading the tributes today, and what a brilliant, brilliant young man he was. Desperate, desperate, sad. And a class touch from Paddy O'Brien after his winner yesterday to say that he was in their thoughts, because he, by all accounts, he wasn't this guy that you'd even notice in the waiting room. He was just extremely polite, very, very quiet fella. And there really are no words at a time like this. My thoughts are with his family. And the one thing I will say, the racing community unfortunately goes through this quite a bit, and it does really, really respond to the needs of Paul's family, and I have no doubt that'll be the case here as well. But desperately sad.
Yeah, well said, and may you rest in peace. Our condolences on the racing potter with his family and friends, Paul Kavanagh. So let's get into this card today, Tom. Leopardstown, let's get into the grade ones. The chase course is yielding, good to yielding in places on the chase course. So yielding ground for the hurdles course, 112 for the 2 mile chase, 2 mile and a furlong, 7 runners. I'm looking here, Mashborough, Found a 50, who met at Cork, Marie National, the champion chaser, first run of the season for him. On ground he'll like. Solness won this last year in a shock. Only By Night is a mare receiving an allowance. I like Marie National. I think Barry Connell says he's forward. Now, it took him 4 runs to have his first win last season, but the season before that, he won his first time out. I think, look, it's exactly what Marie National would want in terms of a test, and I think that if he's match sharp, I think he wins. I think he's the best horse in the race. I think Mashburn, I can't understand why Mashburn is not going over further, because he's made jumping mistakes in the Arkell. He made a jumping mistake there again at Cork in the Hillyway Chase. I don't understand why this horse is not running over further. And Found a 50 for me is just a little bit below top level. So for me, Tom, if Marie National is ready to go, I think he wins.
Yeah, I couldn't disagree with any of that. I can't believe he's not favourite, John, to be honest, as well. Yeah, Majra's been doing his Majra things, hasn't he? You know, and these jumping errors. It's very difficult to know whether they can ever be sort of ironed out. He just seems to make them but get away with them. And personally, I actually love the horse. But yeah, on price and on form and on the ground, again, it's going to be so quick at Leopardstown for you know, winter ground. We've had a dry week. So, yeah, all flags point towards Marine Nacional for me. The only thing, you know, we know what Solness does. Is he going to try and do that again? You know, really sad for the Bronson Racing team yesterday. They lost Nürburgring, so it'd be nice for them if Solness could go and do it again. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm with Marine Nacional, and to be honest, I think he should be a bigger price, or should be a shorter price.
Just looking through the odds here, folks, for this 2 mile chase, the Grade One at Leopardstown, the first of two Grade Ones. Marine Nacional now 15-8. Match were the favourite 7-4 with Hills. Found a 55s. Solness, bit of money for him into 9-1. Only by Nigel Drifter this morning out to 10-1. Johnny.
Yeah, I'm a bit surprised. I suppose when I originally previewed this race, Majora was definitely not favourite. Now I see William Hill is top price on him at 7-4, and basically there isn't much between them in the betting. It's maybe a tricky race to call as to which will go off favourite. But I don't know. I was against Majora in Mallow the last day, and I picked the wrong horse. I backed an Ergamine against him, having basically tipped up, found a 50 here because I thought the ground had gone so heavy. I thought it would it would suit an Ergamine, but maybe he just doesn't have the pace anymore. But Mashburn, like, you're just looking at, for all the ability he has, his jumping has been such an issue now on his three starts. And I'll say this again, I was very disappointed that he couldn't win a small field Arkle. The form has worked out much better maybe in that race than would have been anticipated. But, you know, it wasn't that much of a jumping test the way the race developed, and he still made a mistake. So going left-handed today won't necessarily fix all his issues. And, you know, I just get the vibe that Marine Nacional is ready for war today, that he's, and then the key for me is the ground. Like, it's if you think Majmur wants further, JD, that's a further addition to Marine Nacional's chance, because he will rattle off this ground. He's by essentially a miler of a stallion. He's a very pacey horse. I think Sean Flanagan said he was working essentially like a flat horse, or beating flat horses very well. And I'd make him favourite. Majborough, for all that, you know, he has a lot of ability. He's a second season novice who doesn't deserve on form to be the price he is. And we can't at all rely on his jumping at this stage.
So all three of us, Marine Nacional?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, it's easy. If it was easy as this, folks, life would be very easy, but it's not. Let's get on to the future champions. Novice Hurdle at Leopardstown, 147, 2 miles, 8 runners, which is great for the each way place. This is a tricky puzzle. You got Cocktail Brew in there, won the Royal Bond at Ferry House last time out. Le Divan Enfant is in the Hurricane Fly colours. Won a maiden hurdle for Willie Mullins at Thurles last month after coming from France. Love Me Tender has attracted market support in the colours of JB McManus, another Willie Mullins runner, 3 from 3, including a Grade 3 at Tipperary back in October. Mr. Pessimistic is also unbeaten. You wonder if the Henry de Bramhead yard is sparkling as much as it could be when it really is firing. I don't know. Scottish Hustle is a Gordon Elliott horse that got off the mark and Ferry House in a maiden hurdle last time. Talk the Talk. Won a Grade 3 at Ferry House, can't be ruled out. And even Carrick Mornis Bruce won the bumper last year, the mare. So Tom Alone, solve this.
Yeah, this is a tricky puzzle. It is, isn't it? And even the fact that Jack Kennedy gets off Cocktail Brute to go and ride Skyline Hustle, you know, after Cocktail Brute won the Royal Bond. I know it's a Grade 2 and not a Grade 1, but yeah. That it kind of adds to this. Love Me Tender was a non-runner that day as well. And then, you know, Le Divan Enfant is coming here, having been incredibly impressive when winning essentially a maiden, well, a novice at Thurles last time out. So there's so much up in the air. I, on this earlier, I just came down the side of Love Me Tender. I was sort of expecting him to beat Cocktail Brute in Ferry House on in the Royal Bonds. So, but yeah, again, very, very tricky puzzle. I'd just be with Love Me Tender. It's not it's actually a race I'm really, really looking forward to.
Because you're an Elvis fan, Tom. That's
right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Just, you know, the few days that's in it after seeing Johnny put a ring on it as well. Just, you know,
the stars absolutely align here.
You know, it's perfect.
Very,
it's
very
perfect.
Obvious. It's going to be Love Me Tender.
Yeah.
Love Me Tender, 7-2. Bit of money for it. Le Divan Enfant is 11-4. Scottish Hustle fours. Talk the Talk money for that, 11-2. Actually, this Carrick Mornis Spruce trained down at Waterford by Declan Queeley has had money for it today. Best price of 14-1, 12 with Hills. Remember watching that horse win the bumper last year. Now, it did disappoint last time out, but yeah, Johnny. I mean, I actually think Le Divan Enfant could be a value price by the time this goes off, because you look at the connections and it could be anything, this horse.
Could be anything, yeah. And I suppose maybe with Willie's, if you're probably hoping that they have had a run. Some of the horses, including I suppose our hot pot in the first race yesterday, JD, off a first run of the season, some of Willie's horses, including Bambino Fever, have been disappointing, and maybe they do need a run a little bit, which is something you kind of never say, but it does look a bit that way. Carrigmore and Spruce is definitely one I wouldn't be ruling out. Like, she was absolutely exceptional when she beat Cholin at Punchestown when she won her maiden hurdle at Listowel. I tipped her at Down Royal. I have to say I was disappointed in her at Down Royal, but you know, she still ran a solid race, and she's getting the mare's allowance. She's probably been kind of trained for this by the Queeley operation. Really, really sharp. Wouldn't have enough many horses anywhere near as good as this, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if she ran well. The horse I tipped in this race, we looked at this race in another podcast last week, was Talk the Talk. I think he was 14-1 then. He's now into like 11-2. So I've often spoken about this. I find it hard to back horses that, where the prices come in so much, but other people are happy because they're happy with the market support and it adds to the confidence. So it's kind of, you can look at it two ways, but this is a really promising horse. I was at Limerick when he beat Starting 15, who was very impressive actually yesterday at Limerick. That form worked out well. But more to the point, he then went on to win a good race, a Grade 3 at Fairy House when he beat I'm Slippy, who's a promising horse, and Mercia, who maybe needed the run a little bit on the day, but he still smashed her and Windrock, and just looks really, really talented, this horse. I think Sam Ewing seems to really rate him, and as I say, the price is tight enough now, but he'd still be my selection in the race.
What is your selection, Tom? Love Me Tender.
Love Me Tender, yeah.
Okay, let's get on to the Paddy Power Chase. Standing dish of the 27th of December at Leopardstown. 28 runners. There could be reserves, like Buckle Booked as the second reserve, could get into this. So watch the reserves, folks. Always important. On what we would see as probably quicker ground than normal for this time of year at Leopardstown. Remember, good to yield in places on the chase course. So the six horses with hills that are below 10-1 in the betting. I'm just going to go through them here. Back Me or Sack Me is 6-1 favourite for owner Paul Byrne and trainer Emmett Mullins. Batty Sacks Hank, the horse who's second in the American Grand National, is 7-1. Will the Wise has been the market mover probably for the last 24 hours, 13-2 now for claiming jockey Owen Staples for Gavin Cromwell. Buckle Booked, as I said, 17-2. Midnight Our Fred, who was second last year in the race, is 9-1 now. And we've all been caught 17-2 for the trainer. Is it Eric McNamara, I think, trains that, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Yeah, Waterford Whispers is also attracting money into 11-1 or second at the Cheltenham Festival. And then a bigger price is Pied Piper. Got a bit of a nibble for that at 40s. And A Wave of the Sea with Charlie O'Dwyer riding that one is also a 40-1 shot. Look, I think, having watched this race for many, many years, I do think you need to have a prominent racer in this race, because if you're at the back at a 28-runner race trying to make up ground at Leopardstown over 3 miles, you're in for a long afternoon, Johnny. That's what I would feel. You need a prominent racer for this that will be in a good position. You need a good jockey to be in a good position, because it could be over pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's a typical handicap chase with a really big fields. You know, it's just logistically, if you're off the pace, things can go wrong. And you know, but obviously that it can work in your favor as well. If Paul Carberry's riding a horse off the pace, generally I was pretty happy. You know, the first horse I ever had a leg in, unfortunately, turned out to be very good, and he was actually favorite in this race. And I remember he had been running against Not Repair, and Not Repair had just won the Welsh National. And I remember the buzz of seeing this gamble on the horses that we had. I had a leg in the race, and it was one of those days where it really felt like amazing to be a racehorse owner. To have a horse that was fancied in this race is just is some buzz. Like, now I do not compare to Paul Byrne, who has two horses in this race, either of which could be favourites. And Paul was a colleague of mine in the Racing Post, and the imprint he's made on racing is quite astonishing, really. Very shrewd operator. And just talking to him yesterday, I think he's, he won't mind me saying, I think he's of the opinion maybe that Back Me or Sack Me might be slightly better handicapped than Ballysacks Hank. But 10-1, this is a big, big ride for Jake Cohen. Like, he would not have much experience in races like this. And I do feel, you know, having Keith Donoghue on Ballysacks Hank and the likes is definitely a big help. And I really don't see any negatives in this horse. You know, if you look at everything he's done since he was acquired out of Brendan Dukes. And I remember interviewing Brendan Duke after he won in Mallow one time, and he needed a winner at the time. But obviously the horse moved on, and He was well backed. I think I tipped him up at Punchestown when he was second over hurdles. Didn't do much wrong. Then the trip caught him out at Bellystown. And I remember at on the day Gavin Cromwell was saying the trip might catch him out. But then he was really impressive at Market Raisin in the summer plate. Really impressive. And I think more to the point then, he beat Sholin on the flat, which form that worked out well. So he's shown his versatility there. Very good bumper horse. But for me, maybe the key form for him here is practically beating Zana here in Far Hills. Like that's a hell of an effort. And he was sent off favourite to beat Zana here, who's a really good horse on his day. That was a hurdle race, but like he jumps fence as well, this horse. He travels really strongly in his races, will love the ground. So I don't see any negatives in him. You know, it's a race that you wouldn't want to be lumping on anything in. But Hills have five each way places. So I'd still prefer him than, you know, to back me or sack me in a very open race.
We got Captain Cody attracting market support as well into 10 to 1, the Scottish Grand National winner for William Mullins. Paul Tennant rides him. Will Do was the mentor of Jack Kennedy. He was favourite for the race last year as a 14 to 1 shot. Blizzard of Oz for JJ Slevin won a listed race at Wexford on his penultimate start. He's a 20 to 1 shot carrying a big weight, but a very talented horse over hurdles and as a novice chaser. Ooh, Tom Malone, can you narrow this down to two or three or one?
Yeah, I was going to say, if you give me the old countdown effort, I might go, you know, one from the top and two from the bottom or something like that. But
Was that last strike at Lucky?
There's a horse I hope runs really well in this. He's owned by a friend, my dad's friend, actually, who I used to work for years and years ago. We've all been caught. They had Real Steel win the race a couple of years ago. They've obviously bought this horse with a similar plan in mind. He has a perfect profile, and he's that just a little bit of back class as well, having been fourth in a Kenmure last year. So, yeah, it'd be a big day. It'd be a big day for Tadhg Moynihan if we've all been caught runs well, and I really hope they do. His brother passed away there about a month ago as well, so there'd be
He's a
some
really
pretty
larger than
emotional
life
scenes.
character, Tom, isn't he?
Yeah, I worked with Tadhg back 20 years ago now at this stage, but he's a couple of pubs in Cambridge, and in there's one in Madeira as well, and really really great character. And his they had a pub in Dinard. It's a tiny village in West Wicklow, and yeah, if we've all been caught wins, there'd be hell of a celebration in Moynihan's in Dinard tonight. That's for absolutely sure. But yeah, he's about 10 to 1, and the negative for me with him would just be the ground, but that'll just be so much the case. It's a big staying chase of these winter horses, and we end up with good in the going description. It's just it's probably gonna nix a lot of plans that have been put, you know, down many in many many years. You know, you'd be laying out a horse for this race over months, but Ballysacks Hank at the top of the market, it'll obviously suit him. Look, I'm going to make a mad selection here, a huge price, and definitely not a horse you can rely on. But just because the ground is good, there is definitely a race in him. He's 50 to 1.
Sandra Clegane,
I'm going to go with Pied Piper. I know he's an
Pied Piper.
absolute hound,
There's
but
money for him. There's
I
money for
just
him. There's money
think
for Pied Piper.
there's one of
I think
those.
calling him a hound is a bit harsh, Tom.
He's very disappointing, Johnny. They paid 600,000 for him, didn't they? And he's, you know, he's just one of those horses. He's been incredibly disappointing. I think there's a big pot in him. I don't know if it's today, but given the way, it's just one of those days where it's like it's a kind of a weird race. The ground is so quick. This is the kind of day he could turn up for you at a big price. He's
I
not
wouldn't
is.
dismiss him. And Josh actually got a bit
Josh
of a
Williamson, the
Josh
jockey.
Williamson, son of Storm and Norman, got a steer from at Navan when, as Tom says, that the heavy ground that day, this is a flat horse basically. Like today's ground, he'll love it.
Yeah, that's my thinking. He's, you know, he's been tricky to follow, but look, the thing about Gordon is he'll just run him and run him and run him. So, you know, he's after coming down the weights a little bit as well. He's up there near the top, but again, with the good ground, that kind of down being down near the bottom of the weights doesn't count as much. You know what I mean? It's still a relatively compressed handicap. And you know, like I said, Josh Williamson there, brilliant claimer, taking five off. You know, it's on his page, as you'd say, to be a good jockey. But yeah, Pied Piper at a huge price. Just think maybe he might run into the five for you.
Well, I was looking at the market and he was one of the horses that was shortened and he's into 40s now. I mean, he was second at Cheltenham back in October behind leave of absence and like won in June in Roscommon. One in Killarney.
An obvious Paddy Power trial.
One in Killarney. One in another chasing Killarney back
in
May.
Yeah, that's it. He just shows he'll definitely handle the ground. And he
second
has
in
enough.
County hurdle.
Yeah, he has enough class. He has enough class. So just hope, maybe.
Not a bad pick off 11 stone one. Not a bad pick. Yeah. 66 into 40. He's Pied Piper, folks. And we'll be all following Tom Malone, I mean, forevermore.
Pied Piper will lead you to glory.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm going to be crazy enough to say Sander Clegane at 50 to 1.
Because we have the forecast.
There you go. We won't be on tomorrow's pod if that's the case. You'll be doing it on your own, Johnny, talking to yourself.
Been done before.
Liam McKenna is claiming 5. With that claim, he'd be £14 lower than his highest racing over fences. He was a very decent novice hurdler and novice chaser, ran well in the race. In fact, to file one at Cheltenham as a novice in 2024. Look, he needs to recapture his sparkle. That might not be possible. He has been very disappointing. He hasn't been finishing at his races, but he is tumbling down the handicap. And if there's any sparkle there at 50 to 1, he could be a horse that might reach the frame. Sander Clegane for Paul Nolan, Denno Wexford. I think of the ones at the top, Midnight or Fred, surely will run another solid race, having been second in the race last year. Blizzard of Oz, I think, is a very good, decent animal as well. But Sander Clegane at 50 to 1. Might be worth a euro each way, folks, in the Paddy Power Chase at Leopardstown at 3 o'clock. Limerick, it was a good win for Kazinski yesterday at Limerick, I felt. And you got the Dawn Run, Mares Novices Chase at 127 today on soft to heavy ground, 7 runners. Like, this is interesting because the Big Westerner, you know, won at the course last year. The yard has been maybe quiet in terms of winners. And then Jay DeGrugy has had the market support this morning, but was very disappointing at Cork last time. So the one I actually liked here was You Have Me in Stitches. She's interesting. She is the daughter of Blue Sea Cracker, who won an Irish Grand National for James Motherway. She is a course winner. She could take advantage if the two market leaders did fail to shine. But will one of the two market leaders, Johnny, fail to shine? Or are you pretty sweet on one of them?
This is again a challenge in punting horses, and punting horses is difficult. There are so many things you have to consider before even getting your own head right as to how much you should have on the particular race or should you have a bet. But stable form is a difficult one because, like, are Henry de Bromhead's horses in or out of form? I don't think it's conclusive to say that they're definitely out of form. His stats aren't that great, but like, this is a small concern, you know. If his horses aren't quite firing, will the Big Westerner be at her best? She was really weak in the betting at Fairy House behind Jimmy de Salai. Now, maybe there was, like, I remember at one point she was 11-8 to finish in the first three, which I couldn't believe the drift. And I backed her. I think I backed her to place. Luckily enough, I was going to back her to win on the day, but I backed her to place because the price kept going out. And I really was looking at the market wondering what's going on here, because this mare should be like really top class over fences. You know, she was unlucky really in sprint. She was second to Jasmine DeVoe in the Albert Bartlett. It's a hell of a run for a mare taking on geldings in a staying novice hurdle race. 20 runners on that occasion. And if you ever saw her, she obviously flopped at Fairy House, but like you give her a pass in that. But if you see her in the flesh, like, she really did look like she'd thrive for this brilliant chasing yard over fences. And to be honest, at Fairy House, I thought she excelled herself. She wasn't any match for Jimmy de Salai, but Jimmy de Salai is a good horse, and she smashed Jacob's Ladder, who was well backed and is a decent horse. She beat good horses. She absolutely destroyed them. I would be all over her today. I was in Mallow when Jade Grugy was third. Very disappointing. But just in terms of this test, she would appeal to me. Jade Grugy actually jumped fine in Mallow, but for this test back at Limerick, where a course that she likes, she won basically at this festival last year. Love the ground. Everything in her favour. A great ride for Mike O'Connor to get her road of the last day. The one concern for me would be you know, the stable form, which is a bit of a concern maybe, but at even money I'd still be backing her.
I'd be looking at You Have Me in Stitches to be one of the two of these at 10 to 1. It's a quarter of the odds the first two. That's be my bet in this time if I was gonna have a bet.
Yeah, she's definitely the one that you just think, oh, if there's going to be something to upset the apple cart, it's her. But yeah, Jade Grugy was so disappointing in Cork. Maybe you just take her the equation, because 11 to 10, bar stable form, which I think probably gets overplayed with Henry de Bromhead.
Why is Danny Mullins going into Limerick to ride this? Surely is that not a positive sign?
Yeah, it's absolutely positive. But sure, you know, Danny Mullins, you know, you want to get on the grade one horses, and Jade DeGrugy potentially is that. But just these conditions, the Big Westerner, she's a lovely big stamp of a mare. Like, she looks almost like a gelding herself. conditions being in her favor, you know, they're almost identical in price. You know, maybe if we would talk up the form of the Henry de Bromhead Yard a little bit more and she'd get an even bigger price. But yeah, absolutely nothing against the big Westerner. And, you know, and basically a coin toss between the two, I'd be with the big Westerner over Jade de Grugy.
The last favorite, like if you look at the stable form, the last favorite that Henry sent out was about 14 runners back on the 26th Los Blancos. So he's obviously had a lot of runners, but that was the last favorite. So of all the runners he had yesterday, he had one favorite and that won. So I don't know. He's had a lot of horses placed. I'm not sure he's been too much into it.
Yeah, I don't think that. Look, Henry Roman's yards goes in and out of form all the time. It's one of those things where he just gets these really hot spells and people are like, oh, Jesus, yard is flying, because he'll have like five or six winners in a short period of time. But he doesn't really go super cold. It's just not as hot because he ends up winning, you know, and it's kind of the way at the start of the season, because you're going to end up with a lot of winners because they're all running maidens and beginners chases. And then by the middle of the season, when they have to come in and take on other winners, they will inevitably flatten off.
Okay, we've got the Welsh National at Chepstow, 250, 3 miles, 6.5 furlongs, and 19 runners going to post. Good to soft ground, which is once again highly unusual for Chepstow this time of year at Christmas. Just looking through the, I mean, in the paper or in the race in post tissue, Uncle Bert was 16-1, and Uncle Bert for the Twist and Davis family is now 8-1 with William Hill. So it's been backed heavily. The favourite is Jubilee Express, was second in the race last year for Sam Thomas, the trainer, 5-1. Rock My Way, 6-1, 70-2, Gitmaker. H.E. Couleur, the Irish Grand National winner, is 8-1. O'Connell is 17-2 in places, as is Mr. Vango. Uncle Bertha told me the move on him. Dom of Mary, money for that in the last 24 hours into 14s. Money for Living on Luco into 25-1 in places. Ooh, Intense Raffles, the Irish Grand National winner, is an unconsidered 40-1 shot. Where It All Began, 50-1 shot. Ooh, Johnny, what are you thinking about the Welsh National?
I'm thinking, do not have a bet in this race, to be quite honest with you. Yeah, it's really, really difficult. Like you say, JD, it's unusual. It is good to soft ground. You know, obviously you generally expect, even in these days of madness that we live in, you generally expect softer ground than this, and it's a big, big factor. I you know, you've some race horses here that will definitely want to be up with the pace, and whether or not they get into a rhythm, will they be taken on for the lead? The likes of Mr. Vango is a very likable horse. He's one of those, he's just a good progressive, 9 going on 10, but actually was still progressing like over the last season or so. But he's obviously a horse that is one of those that won't necessarily want to be taken on for the lead. Haiti Killer, I mean, what was that the last day behind Grey Dawning? That's definitely a concern.
It's not. I think there was an issue there that's not the horse's true running, so I think you can put a line through that.
Yeah, the you know, and in fairness to him last year, like he was so progressive and was brilliant at Cheltenham, really. And even if that were only off 135, he was sort of the winner all day that day and progressed so brilliantly, as you say, at Fairy House. So, like, you can if you give him a pass, he's up there. But I just don't know. Like, Intense Raffles, that'd be a hell of a story with Bryony Frost riding for Tom Gibney. Even Gordon's horse, who has basically, like, sort of thing you expect on the back of a car in terms of form figures, Where It All Began, P0FPP. But he's been trained for this race, and he actually didn't run bad in the main the last day. This is as betting events go, this is the most no bet race you could get. But if I had to give a selection, Mr. like people, I've said this before, I'm not a massive fan of the really top level handicap chase. I think they're too difficult. They're too many horses are just not well handicapped, and you're reliant on a lot of luck in the race itself. So I just don't find this a betting race at all. But Mr. Van Gogh would be my selection.
Tom, are you of a different disposition to Johnny with these handicap chases?
Yeah, I wouldn't look past Gordon Elliott's horse, Beaufort Scale, as well. Just really relatively consistent kind of a sort. Great ride for Paddy Hanlon to get as well, claiming 5 down near the bottom of the weights. But it's a bit like the Paddy Power again. You know, all these people will be laying out these horses expecting a, you know, extended slog in the very, you know, soft ground at Chepstow. And then it's just coming up with a little bit of good in the going description. It's just, again, so many trainers will be pulling their hair out at that. But yeah, I'd love to see Intense Raffles as one off a mark of 155. They're certainly not taking any chances for a horse that's finished pulled up in the Grand National third and eighth at Newbury. You know, it's again, if it was softer, I'd definitely be thinking about having a little pop at Intense Raffles at a big price. And, you know, similar with Nassalam as well, even though he's coming in off, you know, awful form figures, have pulled up four times in a row, but he has had a wind up. He's won this race in the past. Can't believe he's still only eight. But yeah, like Gary Moore can get them ready for a summit. But again, it's just that bit of good in the going description. So unfortunately, rather what I would normally do is, you know, look for a bigger price horse who can definitely handle that in the going. But it's kind of leaves you with Rock My Way, who you know will perform on the ground, is progressive, as won last time out. He's a short price at, you know, 5-6 to 1, but just can't kind of get away from him. 7 years of age, on the right track. Like I said, winner last time out. Joe Tizard loves a staying chaser. So yeah, Rock My Way, I'd stick with. Just he's classy and progressive. Did go up £9 to that win last time out. But, you know, he has good form there. Was second to 80 Killor last year as well. So, you know, and he's in a much better position weight-wise against him this time out, you know, with Haiti Couleur now up over 150. So yeah, just stick with Rock My Way here. Again, only 5 to 1, but just because of the way the race and the conditions of the race are now and the good and the going, it just kind of pushes it towards a horse at a shorter price.
Drifting now to sixes, Tom, and if it drifts any more, it could be a value bet. It's my selection as well, Rock My Way. Like, if you look at the run at Ascot last time, it absolutely bolted up on good ground. The Tizards are good with these horses. Remember, Native River won the Welsh National for them.
I love trainers that just try and pick off handicaps along the way with their quality horses, you know, and the Tizards try and do that.
Yeah, this has been the plan for this horse. I mean, you could put a line through his run in the race at Newbury. He's only carrying 10 stone 13. He'll get the trip. He jumps well. Brendan Powell's on board. I think Rock My Way is a rock solid proposition for the Welsh National personally to finish in the first five. Anything else that's catching your eye, Johnny, anywhere else today before I get into the picks?
I tipped 11 horses on Racing TV yesterday.
How many won?
The first six were all beaten. And at that time, a Shamrock Rovers fan messaged me for a tip, and I just gave him the five selections that were left and basically copy and pasted them from my email, and they all won. So I'm on a hot streak of 5 from 5, and that doesn't include the Jukebox Man, who actually ran at that time. But it's funny the way, like, you know, I had six losers in a row, and they weren't, some of them were quite, like, I were pretty well fancied. So it's a strange game. I've put up what, six selections today. I'm gonna go with the Big Westerner as my nap. Like, if the
are we into the picks now? Or are we into just you pick? You know, are we getting into the picks now?
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Let's officially say we're into the pick section of the racing pod here. So our picks for day two of the Christmas festivals, Johnny Ward, what is your pick for today?
Okay, so I give. I mentioned Marie Nationale at Leopardstown and Ballysacks Hank in the big race as well. Another horse I like at Leopardstown is On Ore for Tony Martin. I just feel the stars have aligned for him and with the ground. But I'll give my best bet today is the Big Westerner in the Mayor's Contest at Limerick. And again, as I say, the only concern here is somewhat flimsy suggestion that the stable is out of form. So hopefully it's not out of form, in which case I think she wins.
Big Westerner, that's in the Grade 2 at Limerick today. Tom Malone, what is your opinion guiding you towards in terms of picks today?
Yeah, I think I actually think Marie Nationale is the better of the day by a considerable distance. And the one at a big price, we'll go to the handicap hurdle. I'll take Johnny on at 222 and a horse that used to be trained by Willie Mullins, which isn't a great idea to, you know, follow these. But Icare Dubois won the George Myrna bumper at Fairy House on debut. He's now with David Harry Kelly. He ran in a kind of a race at Dundalk where almost everything was just on a warm-up for the Christmas festival. He has plenty of back class. He's running off 124. So Icare Dubois at 222 in the handicap hurdle. If you'll have something each way on that.
That's at Leopardstown.
At Leopardstown, yeah.
On day two of our Christmas shows here in the Racing Pod. I'm going to go for a crazy one. Sandra Clegane at 50 to 1 in the Paddy Power Chase at 3 o'clock. I suppose each way at a shorter price is Rock My Way in the Welsh National at 250 at about 6 to 1, hopefully better price. And I think I agree with Tom. I think Marie Nationale is the nap of the day for me in the chase at Leopardstown 112 today on the Racing Pod. So, look, I think we've got a lot to get our teeth into today, folks. Reminder, the Off the Ball Racing Pod is free wherever you get your podcasts. We're back at 10:30 in the morning with Tom and Johnny for our day three preview of Christmas racing at Leopardstown and Limerick. Tom Malone of the Irish Field and the soon to be married Johnny Ward. Thank you so much for today, and look forward to chatting later.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.